The theme is co-workers and kingdom builders. I need to start by saying that any follower of Jesus who is filled with the Holy Spirit, who demonstrates the presence of Jesus in their life, is already qualified as a co-worker and a kingdom builder, but not just as an individual follower of Jesus. There's more to it than that. Now, this morning, we're continuing our theme of going for growth, but not just growth of individual followers of Jesus. We're going to consider how we, as we work together with each other and our Father, how his kingdom grows and advances. So first, a few foundation stones, some kingdom Bible passages that guide today's message. Luke writes this: being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus answered them, "The kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'Look, there it is,' because," wait for it, "the kingdom of God is in the midst of you." We'll come back to that. This is not about growing a bigger church. It's not about using clever worldly methods or gimmicks. It's not about being more culturally relevant in our worship with big bands and smoke and lights. It's not about coming up with better and more sophisticated evangelistic techniques. In fact, it's not about anything that relies on something the world can offer. In John 18, Jesus said this: "My kingdom is not of this world, and my kingdom is not from the world." So nothing the world has to offer contributes anything of value to the kingdom. Now, when Paul wrote a letter to Roman Christians, he said, "For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit." The characteristics of the kingdom, kingdom advancement and growth, rely entirely on the work of the Holy Spirit. So then, co-workers and kingdom builders, that's us. Or perhaps a subtitle could be, who should be doing what, with whom, and why? From Psalm 127, "Unless the Lord builds the house, then those who build it work in vain." Or from the Message, I prefer this version, "If the Lord doesn't build the house, the workers only produce shacks." In other words, if together we are not building what the Lord wants us to build, then it won't look or function like the kingdom, and it will serve no purpose in his plans. In other words, we will be laboring in vain. Now, this is what Paul wrote to the church in Corinth. He said, "We," and that was him and another guy called Apollos, "we," Paul and Apollos, "are co-workers with God in his service." So they were co-workers, Paul and Apollos, together with God in his service. "And you," that's the people he was speaking to, the people they were working amongst, "you are the field." Now, I find that quite a strange thing to say. It's a metaphor, obviously. You are the field. And in this context, field means a couple of things. It means that you are or need to be able and willing to be cultivated. In other words, to let God prepare the ground of your life. To let God prepare the ground so that the Holy Spirit can be fruitful in you and through you. You are that field. And you are the building, a place that is the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit, God's presence in us. So Paul wrote, "We are co-workers with God in his service, and you are the field. You are the building." In other words, Paul and Apollos worked together with each other and with God to see people transformed so that their lives became like cultivated fields that bear fruit. and that their lives become like buildings that host the presence of God. Paul and Apollos were co-workers with God, and their purpose is clear. First, to enable people to display the hallmarks and the characteristics and the fruit of the kingdom in their lives. Second, to be filled with the Holy Spirit and to live in such a way that they become co-workers together with God and continue the kingdom building, kingdom expanding. Now, Paul and Apollos know that when this is happening, the lives of the people they're serving are impacted by the love and the grace and the power of Jesus. And then these people join that band of co-workers. And this kingdom principle keeps on going round and remains to this day. So it includes us. And now from James, who writes, "What good is it if you see a brother in need and simply say, 'God bless you, I hope it all goes well'?" Now, what this is saying to us, in other words, is that sometimes there are certain particular or specific needs that must be met before a person can actually have their lives cultivated, because they can be in such dire straits or such a mess, humanly speaking. Things need to happen before this fruit can really be harvested, before they can really become co-workers. And meeting these needs is just as much a part of our co-working and kingdom building than anything else God calls us to do. Now, these truths will act as a blueprint for working together, for being co-workers with God, for seeing kingdom increase. You see, every action we do, every word we speak that reflects Jesus, that represents who he is, that displays his fruit and makes visible his presence, this is an act of kingdom building. This is the kingdom expanding, taking a step forward. And we can, as the community of God's people, the followers of Jesus, we can, within the community we're called to serve, we become force multipliers. What that means is this, that the kingdom impact is greater when we work together than the sum of all the individuals involved. And that's really important for us to understand. Now, for instance, any one of us can certainly help out with some food or other resources for a neighbor in need, and we should. But when a group of Jesus followers get together with him and they provide or acquire the resources to provide food, household goods, gas, electricity, friendship, and they do all of this unashamedly in the name of Jesus, then we become involved in kingdom building on a different scale. One of us certainly can work with God in a community and have noticeable kingdom impact, which is great. But when a group of Christians following Jesus seek his purposes and working together with him, get enough resource together to say, buy a building, turn it into a cafe, run a food bank, offer free counseling, become befrienders, invite people to Alpha courses, all unashamedly in the name of Jesus, then that is altogether a different scale of kingdom building. One person can look after somebody else's children, which may be absolutely the right thing to do, and it's great. But when maybe three or four of Jesus' followers get together and develop and grow a parent toddler group, which meets more than just childcare needs for 10, 15 or 20 parents or carers, and relationships are built, needs are met, and we do this unashamedly in the name of Jesus, as we demonstrate his love and his grace, that is altogether a different opportunity for kingdom building. We can boil this message down to something very simple and understandable, but first, a cautionary warning. There seems to be something within us that rebels against solutions that are too simple. Almost, it's too good to be true. I'm not sure why this is, but it's observably true. So in the Old Testament, in 2 Kings chapter 5, we find a king called Naaman, who had leprosy. He wasn't one of God's people, but there were some of God's people around him. He had leprosy, and he was told there was a God who could heal him. And obviously, Naaman was interested. Now, the way he was going to be healed was simple. Go and dip yourself in the River Jordan. Simple, but not good enough for Naaman. Naaman had other expectations of how the solution to his illness should be delivered. Naaman expected some great man of God would travel to him, Naaman, and would plead and call and cry on the name of God. And then he'd wave his hands around in some sort of ritual, and then Naaman would be healed. That's what Naaman wanted. Now, to me, that seemed to add an awful lot of extra layers and complications to what was a very simple solution. Go and dip yourself in the River Jordan. Now, just like Naaman, we can sometimes revel in adding extra layers, in overcomplicating, in building ritual. But we see very little of that in the life of Jesus. And when he's telling people what it means to be a follower, he tells them in pretty simple terms. He tells them some stories of what it is to work with him in the kingdom building business. So let's be a lot more like Jesus than Naaman. So here it is. When individuals who are followers of Jesus, who are actually becoming more and more like Jesus in how they think and speak and act, and their lives of practical service, when they start to work together with each other and the Holy Spirit, they are going to see kingdom growth in the community that they serve. It will result in a stronger, more fruitful, more Christ-like church whose impact in the community will be different. And it will see kingdom inroads within the community of not yet followers. We will see lives in which God is preparing the ground, lives being transformed, people who become followers of Jesus, people in whom and through whom the presence of God is a reality, and it shapes, reshapes and transforms their whole lives. And they find themselves with the fruit of the kingdom, the gifts of the Spirit, and they join that band of co-workers. And so the kingdom increase, the kingdom advance happens again. These are the results when ordinary followers of Jesus become co-workers together with each other and the Holy Spirit, and they say, just tell us, and we're off to do it. That's the way that we are co-workers and kingdom builders, simply by being the Christians, the followers that Jesus has called and empowered us to be, day in, day out, day in, day out.